Greetings from the voice of Allan Kardec.
And welcome from the voice of the spirits.
We are here again today to take you on another audio journey through the Spirits book by Allan Kardec. We will continue with the introduction covering sections 4 and 5.
Enjoy.
Section 4. If the phenomena we are considering had been limited only to the movement of objects, they would have remained within the domain of the physical sciences, as we have stated. But that is not what happened. They were destined to place us on the trail of events of a strange order. It was soon discovered, we do not know at whose initiative, that the impulse given to the objects was not simply the product of some blind mechanical force. Rather, an intelligent cause was behind the movement. This opened the way to an entirely new field of observation. The veil could be lifted on many mysteries. Was there actually an intelligent power involved, however? If so, what was it? What was its nature? What was its origin? Was it superior to humankind? Such were the other questions that derived from the first. The first intelligent manifestations occurred by means of tables that moved and struck the floor with one leg a certain number of times, thereby responding to the question asked according to what had been agreed on as to the number that would indicate either yes or no. Even here, there was nothing very convincing for the skeptics, since it could have been seen as a chance effect. Later, however, more highly developed responses were received using the letters of the alphabet. By striking the floor a certain number of times for each letter, the table formed words and sentences in response to the questions. The correctness of the responses and their congruency with the question caused astonishment. When asked about its nature, the mysterious being who gave the responses declared that it was a spirit. It stated its name and furnished other sorts of information. This should be seen as a highly important occurrence. No one individual in particular had ever even thought of spirits as a way to explain the phenomenon. Instead, it was the phenomenon itself that revealed the term. Hypotheses were frequently formed in the physical science to serve as a basis for reasoning. But that did not happen in this case. Communicating in this manner, however, was wearisome and inconvenient. One of these invisible beings, and this is also a noteworthy occurrence, suggested another. This particular spirit advised fitting a pencil to a small basket or other object. When placed on a sheet of paper, the basket was moved by the same hidden power that had turned the tables. However, instead of a simple, regular movement, the pencil wrote by itself, forming words, sentences, and entire discourses of many pages dealing with the deepest questions of philosophy, morality, metaphysics, psychology, etc., and as quickly as though written by hand. This suggestion was given in America, France, and several other countries simultaneously. Here are the terms in which it was given in Paris on June 10, 1853, to one of the most fervent disciples of the doctrine, who, for many years since 1849, had been occupied with the evocation of spirits. Go into the next room and get that little basket. Attach a pencil to it and then place it on a sheet of paper with your fingers on the rim. This was done, and after a few moments, the basket began to move and the pencil legibly wrote the sentence, "I expressly forbid you to tell anyone what I have just told you. The next time I write, I will write better." Since the object to which the pencil is fitted is merely an instrument, its nature and form do not matter. The most convenient means was sought for, and it was thus that many individuals began to use a planchette. Footnote to the word planchette. A small, triangular, or heart-shaped board supported by two casters and a pencil or stylus that, when moved by the fingertips across a surface, supposedly writes clairvoyant messages or subconscious thoughts. The basket or planchette will not move, however, except under the influence of certain persons gifted with a special ability. These are called mediums, that is, intermediaries between spirits and humans. The conditions that produce this ability are linked to both physical and moral causes that are still imperfectly understood. Mediums are of all ages, of both sexes, and of all degrees of intellectual development. Moreover, the faculty can be developed further by exercising it. Section 5. It was then realized that the basket and the planchette were only extensions of the hand, and that when medians held the pencil directly, their hand was made to write by an involuntary, almost feverish impulse. In this way, the communications became faster, easier, and complete. Nowadays, this is the most common method, and the number of persons endowed with this ability is quite considerable and increases daily. Finally, experience revealed many other varieties of mediumship, and it was discovered that communications could also occur through speech, hearing, sight, touch, etc., and even through spirits writing directly, that is, without using the medium's hand or the pencil. This fact having been established, there was still one more essential point to consider: the role of the medium in the responses and the part he or she might play both mechanically and mentally. Two crucial circumstances, which would not escape the attentive observer, made it possible to settle the issue. The first is the way by which the basket moves under the medium's influence by simply placing the fingers on its rim. An examination will show the impossibility of the medium guiding the basket in any way. This impossibility becomes especially obvious when two or three persons are touching the basket at the same time. It would require a truly phenomenal coordination of movement between them, in addition to an extraordinary similarity of thought that would enable them to understand each other and give answers to the questions. Another, no less original fact adds to the problem, that being the radical change in the writing according to the individual spirit who communicates. The same writing reoccurs whenever the same spirit returns. For this to happen, it would be necessary for the medium to have trained him or herself to change writing styles 20 different ways, and furthermore, he or she would have to remember the style of this or that spirit every time. The second circumstance results from the nature of the responses themselves, which in most cases, especially when dealing with abstract or scientific questions, are obviously outside the knowledge and sometimes the intellectual reach of the medium. Moreover, the medium is usually unaware of what is being written or may not even understand the question, which may be asked mentally or even in a foreign language, with the answer given in the same language. Furthermore, the basket may write spontaneously about some completely unexpected subject without any question having been asked regarding it. In some cases, the responses reveal a level of wisdom, depth, and timeliness, and the thoughts are so elevated and sublime that they could only have come from a higher intelligence imbibed with the purest morality. At other times, they are so flippant, so frivolous, and so banal that reason refuses to accept the possibility that they could have come from the same source. Such diversity of language could only be explained by the diversity of the intelligences who manifest themselves. Are these intelligences human or not? That is the point to clarify, and for which a complete explanation, as conveyed by the spirits themselves, will be found in this book. Footnote to the word spirits. When the term the spirits with a capital S appears in the text, it is referring to the group of highly evolved spirits who were involved in revealing the spiritist doctrine and after whom this work has been entitled. Here we are facing obvious effects that are produced outside the circle of our habitual observations. These effects do not occur mysteriously, but in the full light of day. Anyone can see and observe them because they are not the privilege of one individual in particular, but are repeated every day by thousands of persons at will. These effects necessarily have a cause, and since they reveal the action of an intelligence and a will, they are outside the purely physical realm. Many theories have been formulated regarding the matter. We will examine them briefly and will see if they can render comprehensible all the facts that have surfaced. In the meantime, however, let us accept the existence of beings distinct from humankind, since that is the explanation given by the intelligences themselves, and let us see what they might have to tell us.